Now, the rest of the story. They were such terribly depressing stories that he wrote. And yet, considering their author, how could they have been otherwise? For he was such a tormented fellow, afraid of everything. Naturally, the stories that he wrote would be depressing. He personally was afraid of fire, afraid of premature burial, afraid of transportation in all of its forms, afraid of lurking assassins and tainted food and being outdoors and being indoors. He was a hypochondriac, of course. Certain that his death was imminent, precipitated by a host of incredible causes like splinters and pin scratches, scratched himself with a pin one time and immediately lay down prepared to die. Putting letters in wrong envelopes, that was another of his nagging fears. Also the possibility of incorrect information on his passport. No, these were not relatively insignificant irritations in the author's life. They were profound phobias, which at times virtually incapacitated him. Why, there was one time he had an appointment with a friend. The friend was half an hour late. Now listen, the friend was half an hour late, but the writer was so panic-stricken that within the space of that 30 minutes, he had imagined the friend injured and dead, had broken the news to the man's astonished family that the man was dead, and he had begun to arrange the funeral. So you can see now, can't you, where those awful, fearful stories came from that he wrote, those tales from a tormented mind. He wrote one story about a mermaid who had her tongue cut out. Then there was the one about the woman who lived in agony wearing clothing made of thorns, or the macabre yarn about a girl magically compelled to dance who sought to remedy her curse by having an executioner chop off her feet, and yet whose redemption was found only in dying. So many stories filled with disillusionment and suffering and dismemberment and death. Not surprising, of course, considering the source. The author's personal diary is laden with despair. September 4, the wish to die suddenly very often comes to me. September 5, my mind will not lift. Please God, make me happy. And yet what nearly drove him insane was the fear of insanity itself, a condition of which he felt continually on the verge, a state in which he firmly believed that he would eventually die. That was the essence of the brain which produced those strange and sometimes terrible tales. And yet you're familiar with his literature, and you don't remember his literature the way I've described it, because of his translators. His translators couldn't bear to translate his work literally, staggered by all of the cruelty and anguish, embarrassed by the eroticism, perplexed by the mysticism. They, the authors, Victorian translators, under the mistaken impression that the stories were intended for children only, changed the stories, censored the suggestiveness, all but eliminated the unpleasantness, often outright manufactured happy endings. Over the century past, generations of children have known and loved those stories as innocent, fanciful fairy tales. And yet you've just glimpsed beyond the dreams into the nightmare world of their creator, a brilliant man who lived from breath to breath in panic, a lonely, cringing creature named Hans Christian Andersen. Now, you know the rest of the story.